Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we're talking with Bob Schuster down at Hayward Dayton Bottle, and then we've got another interview with our local fish biologist, Max Walter, and then lastly, some great walleye tips from walleye tournament pro Chase Parsons. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Finally, fish in the Lund of your dreams from Hayward Power Sports. Built by fishermen for fishermen. Catch your limit in the 2019 Lund 1675 Adventure Sport for just $290 a month. This new Lund model comes fully loaded with a 90-horse Mercury 4-stroke, fish locator, trolling motor, travel cover, and more. Enjoy boating's best warranty with 3 years on bow to stern and lifetime hull coverage. Plus, it's transferable, adding to excellent resale value. Get your Lund at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop in for their great lunch menu, and you can enjoy your lunch right out on their deck. Lynn's also has fresh cut-to-order steaks, as well as a great selection of brats and sausages for those great summer cookouts. Lynn's also has a variety of snack sticks, jerky, cheese curds, and much, much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30, Saturdays 9 to 4, and Sundays 10 to 3. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward. Big fish stories come to life at the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame. The world's largest shrine to freshwater anglers boasts a 4.5-story tall walk-through muskie that's a half a city block long. It's like taking a peek into Granddad's old tackle box with thousands of mounted fish, antique outboard motors, and historical sport fishing artifacts. Stop in and take a chance on an $18,000 Lumacraft boat powered by a 50-horse Mercury outboard sponsored by John's Motorsports of Hayward. See the big ones that didn't get away at the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, Highways 27 and B in Hayward, open daily from 9:30 a.m. till 4 p.m. We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and helping out again today is none other than Mr. Bob Schuster. Morning, Bob.
Morning, John.
You know, the summer, it's basically weather patterns have stayed the same. We get every 3 days or so, we seem to get a storm comes through, and we're starting to see bug hatches on the water. It's summertime, basically.
Oh, yeah, and for the most part, the fish are going to be in their summertime mode.
And you know, how many times have you seen that over the last few years where we're getting that repeated storm cycle? That's something we used to have all the time, but we got away from it for a bunch of years.
Yeah, for sure. And, of course, as you well know, a number of our ponds and north of here up in the Barnes area, a number of those lakes were drying up, and now they're full pools again.
Everything's full. Every pond in the woods is full. Every puddle in the ATV trail's full. Yep,
for sure.
You know, talking about the fishing now, what are you hearing down here at the shop as far as people catching fish?
Panfish bites on, bass bites on, guys catching pike. The muskie has picked up a little bit. Walleye's a little tough, but if you do some searching, you'll find those as well.
You know, you mentioned panfish, you know, and the interesting thing is a lot of the action on some lakes, we're finding some deeper stuff, but we're finding a lot of crappies and bluegill still in the weeds in some lakes.
Yeah, and some, and then, as you said, in some of the lakes where they're in a little deeper water, you'll find some towards the bottom, but a number of lakes where they're suspended.
And actually, even walleye's up in the weeds. I mean, a lot of fish are still in those weeds. Water temperatures started to get up there. They were up to a little over 80 degrees, and then they dropped back a little bit, so now we're in the high 70s.
Yep. I've seen the same.
Yeah, as far as muskie action, that's been kind of slow, though. I mean, everybody's reporting that it's not been what they expected one to see.
I would agree, except for, as we're recording this a couple of days ago leading up to now, we've had pretty good reports. People going out, catching 2-3 fish. I don't want to disclose lakes, but it is starting to turn on a little bit, and I suspect it will continue.
Well, it should, and it usually does sometime. It actually a little bit earlier in July, but everything was running late this year.
Yes, it has been.
You know, Bob, talking about bass fishing, I know you guys been fishing Bass League. How's that been going out there?
Pretty good. We just had an outing on Spider, and a number of teams had 5 fish, full bag, and a few of the others had sprees and twos, and But overall, pretty good night on the water.
Any tips for guys on finding bass out there? I mean, that's a fish that a lot of people go after in the summertime.
Yeah, and as you well know, docks, wood, weeds.
You know, up shallow. I mean, the largemouth will stay shallow, but they'll move out into that deeper weed edge sometimes.
Yeah, you'll see them, you know, 7 to 10 foot.
How about the smallmouth? That's something that kind of surprised me this year. I was out the other day, and I was consistently catching the smallmouth up in about 5 to 6 feet of water in weeds and rock.
Yep, hearing the same thing. Couderay has been on fire. Round has been producing pretty well. Grindstone's been producing pretty well.
Normally they're a little bit deeper this time of year, though, than they are right now.
Yep, so my guess is they're in that shallower water because their food base has got to be close by.
But everything revolves about the food out there. It's food, comfort, and reproduction. And yep. Forget the reproduction this time of year for fish. So it's food and comfort.
Yep, exactly.
Well, Bob, I know one other thing we'll talk about here, too, is Northern Pike. I mean, we've got that big deal going on in the Chippewa Flowage where they're encouraging people to harvest a bunch of northern small ones. But northern pike fishing, we've got good pike fishing everywhere up here now. It seems like we never did before.
Yeah, there's certain lakes where there were no northern present, and now they are. But you're absolutely right, and it's a fun time throwing a spinnerbait or a spoon, and it's good action.
Yeah, and if you want the bigger pike, the one tip I can give people, too, is that you start looking a little bit deeper. Yep. They're a different animal. The little pike and big pike are two different animals. The little ones are warm water critters, and the big ones like that cool, deep water.
Yep, so you'll find them along deep weed edges.
You bet. And down here at the shop, I know you guys are actually even starting to get stuff in, looking at fall hunting seasons, which are only a month and a half or so away, or now starting.
Yep, for sure, John. Actually, we're in the process of moving some of the fishing product and condensing down our sets so we can get more of that fall goods up.
Yeah, you bet. I know you got a lot of different stuff in here, and not only that, but if somebody's looking for information or guides or anything else, you got a lot of information here.
Absolutely. Great staff that is well-versed.
Well, Bob, you know, we're going to have to take a break right now and hear from some of our fine sponsors. I've got a little interesting interview with our fisheries biologist, Max Walter, talking about that pike project in Northern we mentioned. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages.
Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one stop for the Hayward area's largest selection of rods, reels, lures, fishing electronics, boating supplies, and they've now expanded their selection of soft plastic bass and walleye baits. No matter what you're fishing for, at Hayward Bait and Bottle, you'll find everything you'll need for a successful season. And while you're there, in their bottle shop, you'll find a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. And also don't forget, now they carry Shoremaster docks, lifts, and accessories at Hayward Bait and Bottle.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Hayward Power Sports features Tracker, America's number one selling aluminum fishing boats. Get ready to catch fish in a 2019 Tracker Super Guide V16 side console with a 40-horse Mercury 4-stroke, Lowrance Hook 2 color fish finder, and a Minn Kota power drive trolling motor. All for just $16,195 or as little as $215 a month. Plus, you get the Tracker Promise, the best factory warranty in the business, and Tracker's no-hassle, no-haggle value pricing coast-to-coast. See Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And myself, John Myrie, and co-host today helping out is Bob Schuster down here at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And
Bob, you know, we mentioned the northern pike thing, and that it's getting to be a problem on some lakes even.
Yeah, I mean, they can overrun a lake for sure. Good action on most of the lakes, so I encourage people to go out, and it's a lot of fun to catch them.
Well, I mentioned the little hammer handles are good for the tackle business because they bite off everything.
Well, yes, they do. We don't train them, though.
You ought to use a leader of some kind. I use a lot of like 15 to 25-pound fluorocarbon, a little sharp piece. That won't stop them completely, but it does really
slow down.
It slows them down a lot. You know, and anyhow, I had a chance to talk to our local biologist, Max Walter, about the fishing, the project they got going on to kind of thin out the pike on the Chippewa Flowage. Let's hear what he had to say about that. Well, Max, you know, an interesting project that's going on out there. We've got that pike project on the Chippewa Flowage. It really seems to be accepted by a lot of people.
Yeah, I think there's excitement about it. I hope people are having fun with it. You know, that's always the goal with fishing, right? If you're not having fun, you shouldn't be doing it. And it's another example of something happening in the Hayward area that is big and different and, you know, cutting edge, I hope, as we try and, you know, find solutions to some sticky problems. And in this case, it's having too many small pike.
Are they taking the ones that want to get out of the lake too, or are they looking at the bigger ones they're harvesting?
Yeah, that's a great question. So for the duration of this project, we've said, get the small ones. If you catch a 35-incher, it's fine to let that one go. You know, let somebody else have fun with that fish. But the 17, 18, 19-inch pike, those are the ones we really need to hit because they're very abundant out there. The start of the project, I was a little nervous. Ice fishing season, there's a lot of bigger pike. Through May, it was bigger pike. But as this project has gone on, we've seen the average size people are keeping come down more and more and more to the point where it looks a lot like the pike we're getting in our surveys. A lot of 17, 18, 19, 20-inch pike being harvested. So that's great. Those are the ones we really wanted to thin out so we could hopefully have better growth of the pike that remain behind, more food available for other species. So I've been really pleased that people have gotten on board with that harvesting of small pike.
Well, part of that is maybe due to the fact, too, that the small pike are the ones that are more readily catchable as the summer progresses, because they tend to be a warm water fish more in like them weeds and shallow stuff where the bigger pike bail off in under the abyss out there where a lot of people can't find them.
Yeah, yes, you're absolutely right. So ice fishing, what we see is people are catching a lot of females, and those tend to be the bigger ones because they're developing their eggs. They're looking for more food, so a lot of 24, 26-inch pike coming through the ice. May, all the pike, males, females are still shallow, so we saw kind of a mix, including a lot of the big ones. Once we got into June, that's when we really started to see more of the small pike. A lot of even 14-inch pike people are harvesting, 16-inch pike. And that's kind of the neat part of this program is it people are catching those fish anyhow, right, regardless of whether we have a big program. The program incentivizes them to actually think about keeping it and using it and trying pike, harvesting them, eating them. And so I think that's maybe one of the long-term impacts is people are going to see, hey, yeah, I can actually get some meat off of an 18-inch pike. And guess what? You know, this is going to be good for the lake if I keep these routinely while I'm here fishing the chip.
Yeah, and you know there's actually too many of them. In my case, I get out on Chief Lake on the flowage, I hit the weed beds, I can pretty much predict what I'm going to get. One, I'd be just like one after another, if you get the right presentation, you could just go on all day long catching them.
You can, and that's kind of part of the fun. You know, it's an abundant fish, they're aggressive. You know, I think back, there was I think it was late May, I finally had a chunk of time to get out on the water a little bit, and I went out, and when I found the pike, it took me 20 minutes to get my limit. And it was great. It was fun. You know, I caught some other stuff while I was out there, too. So I hope people have kind of gotten on board with the spirit of this thing, which is not pike are evil. We're trying to eradicate them. You know, we do not want people ripping gills out, throwing them on the shore and not using them. They're good fish. They're fun fish. They're nice to eat. They definitely add value to our fishery, but they can add even more if we manage them for better quality.
You know, and I've got an excellent thing for eating those fish, too. If you flay me, you've seen the method where they cut the back off and stuff. Mm-hmm. What I do with them is I just cut the flay off, just like I do a walleye, rib cage and all, and then I scoop the rib cage out, and then I cut the skin off of them, and then you can feel the Y bones. I go down the back side, toward the top of the fish, the Y bones, and start cutting upwards, and you'll get them Y bones. And then behind that, I just go below it and cut straight down. And then you've got a strip of meat in between that's got the Y bones. If you want to save that, you can make pickle fish out of it. Otherwise, you've got, you know, some extra meat chunks, fillets that got no bones in them. So it's the fastest, easiest way
It's not that bad. No. What is it? It's like two extra cuts compared to filleting a walleye or something else. So maybe that's a YouTube video you could be doing.
Yeah, we should do that one because, you know, it actually saves the strips in between because it doesn't matter once you pickle them. If you got a bunch of pike, makes it quarter pickled fish too.
Perfect, yeah. And, you know, we've seen a lot of people participate in this. You mentioned that we're a little over halfway to our goal, which is great. We have 3 months left before kind of our self-imposed deadline that we wanted to hit our goal. And we've seen over 1,000 different people participating in this. You know, a lot of them coming into resorts, some to bait shops, a lot of local folks. I've been pleased to see, you know, on those tickets people are turning in, seeing Hayward showing up a lot. So I think local people have gotten behind this a little bit. And that leads to a lot of fun stuff, you know, like we're kind of pitting the resorts against each other and doing little competitions. There's actually a traveling trophy. You know, there's going to be the drawing for prizes and stuff at the end of the year. So we want people to fill out those tickets, not just so that they can win something, but because that's also data. You know, that's telling us how many, telling us the sizes. It's going to tell us a lot about, you know, whether this type of thing works.
You bet. Well, it all helps, and the winning something really encourages people.
Yeah, you know, one of these snakes could be worth $1,000. That's how it goes.
And how do you throw back $1,000? You know?
Exactly. And it's also a good tasting fish. So we're, you know, by incentivizing them to keep it, they're gonna, even if they don't win, they're gonna learn, you know, kind of a new trick here for their fishing experience.
Yeah, you bet. Well, it's been interesting, and you're gonna keep us filled in once we get to the fall as what we caught.
I am, and you know, depending on when this airs, I really want to encourage people. These final 3 months are going to be much harder than the first few months. It gets harder to catch pike. You know, people start getting distracted, thinking about other stuff, hunting, whatever. So if you've got a mind to go harvest some pike, we need you. Spend a little time on the flowage, enter those fish at one of the participating businesses, and help us get towards our goal. I think the first 5,000 are going to be way easier than the second 5,000.
I can sit here talking to you. I just glanced over. There's a basket full of green entry tickets.
That's about 1,800 tickets right there that we entered. So we got a lot of good data off them. So we got to keep that rolling.
Max, so thanks for coming on here.
You bet. Thanks for having me and good luck fishing.
Well, you know, it's interesting listening to him anytime we can get him on here. And right now we do need to take another break and hear from more of our fine sponsors. We come back. We've got an interesting interview talking about walleyes with Walleye Tournament Pro Chase Parsons. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages.
Check out OC Outfitters for all your fishing, hunting, and camping needs this year. They're ready to get you out on the lake with everything from rods and reels to licenses and live bait. Come see their Columbia clothing for men, women, and children. They have a full line of shirts, rain gear, shorts, and jackets, and they have new rifles, shotguns, and handguns to choose from. New this season, a propane filling station. That's OC Outfitters, 4 miles east of Hayward on Highway B, open 7 days a week. Phone 715-634-1044.
Are you in need of marine service? If so, call Earl's Marine, located on County K between the Big Lakes. Earl's Marine is a local Johnson Avenue authorized sales and service representative. Need a boat lift? Earl's Marine handles shore station. Need a boat or a pontoon for a few days? Just call for rental information. Since 1966, Earl's Marine has provided outstanding marine service to this area. For outstanding service, open 7 days a week for sales with a mechanic on duty Monday through Friday. Call Earl's Marine today at 715-634-4783.
Pet owners, if there's a word better than inexpensive, it's free. Hayward Animal Hospital has always offered a free wellness exam with the vaccination of your pet. Your cat or dog will be given the highest quality and most comprehensive vaccines available to ensure continued protection against a variety of diseases with no hidden exam fees. The next time your pet needs vaccinations, consider a free wellness exam and Dr. Ostrander's over 30 years of experience. Hayward Animal Hospital is located on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
Carlson Motorsports is the Hayward area's newest auto dealership. They're now open. Stop in and check out the all-aluminum cargo trailers from Trophy and the unique Lake Lounger combination pontoon dock system. Carlson Motorsports is located just north of the intersection of Highway 63 and 77 in Hayward.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and helping out co-host is Bob Schuster down here at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And you know, walleyes are popular all over across the north. It seems like they're the one fish that almost everybody says, I want to go fish walleyes.
Oh, yeah, they're a sought-after species for sure.
And, you know, one of the guys that actually from northern Wisconsin that got you know, made a big name for himself in walleye tournaments was Gary Parsons.
Yeah, from the Glidden area.
Yeah. And his son now is working actually fishing tournaments too, Chase Parsons. And this is an interview I got at one of the ice fishing shows a couple of years ago. It's interesting talking about what some of these walleyes do in the summertime.
Yep, you will definitely have a summertime pattern with that species.
Yeah. You bet. Let's hear that interview, and we'll come back with the wrap-up on the show.
I'm talking to Chase Parsons. What advantages are in trolling versus just sitting in one spot or moving around with a jig?
Yeah, really. I mean, the key is trolling brings into play the ability to cover water, which is so key because walleyes are here one day, gone the next. I mean, they are never in the same area, especially when it comes to trolling in the summertime when walleyes go out in the middle of the basin and they suspend. They're not relating to anything other than bait fish out there. And literally, it would be impossible day to day to go out there and sit in one spot and catch fish because those open water fish are moving so frequently that you need to be able to cover water. So typically what I'll do when I come to a new body of water is I usually will start with trolling for the simple sake of I can find fish, active fish, faster than other techniques like sitting on a tip of a point and jigging, things like that. And we do a lot of contour trolling too, which is really something that the boat control is real specific with because on structure, walleyes typically relate to the bottom. And you always need to make sure that you're running your baits close to the bottom when you're trolling in situations like that. But we're able to cover water at 2.2 miles an hour when we're trolling crankbaits versus very slowly looking, on one specific spot, sitting there waiting for fish to come to them. So what trolling allows you to do is basically go find the fish versus wait for the fish to come to you, which sometimes literally never happens all day. But when I go to a new body of water, I'll typically always start with the trolling. And then from there, once I find the fish, it's more of a search technique than anything. Don't get me wrong, trolling many, many times produces the largest fish. Going back to like the tournament end of things, many, many tournaments are won trolling. And that's typically because you can stay on those bigger fish a lot easier because you're moving with them. But I use trolling as a search technique in that I'll find where the active fish are, and then I'll slow techniques down once I've dropped some waypoints down because of my trolling and go slower. Because sometimes you'll find that when you troll around the tip of a point, you catch one fish trolling, you know there's some active fish there, you've graphed them, but if you go back to the tip of that point then sometimes that's when you can slow down and jig them, you can rig them with live bait, things like that, and catch even more fish because you're just sitting on top of a pot of fish. But it's absolutely a search technique for us. We're looking for the active fish and using trolling in pretty much any body of water there is. The cool thing about trolling too is a lot of people, if they're on a smaller inland lake, don't feel like, they're typically looking at weed edges, they're typically looking at drop-offs, things like that for walleyes to be focused in on. But in those summer months, I don't care what body of water you're on. If it's not a river system where there's raging current, in the summer, typically the larger walleyes in every system will go out and suspend and fend for themselves. Now, I'm not saying you can't catch a 10-pound walleye on a weed edge in the middle of summer. It's absolutely possible, but a lot of those fish are going out where there's not as much competition to get the bait. They're not afraid of predator species because they're bigger fish typically, and trolling is really, when it comes to a situation like that, the best way to catch them. Because suspended fish, there's not as many out there as what you would see relating to structure, so you have to find them, and we can just cover that water. Especially in those summer months, you can even kick it up to that 2.5 mile an hour range and really cover a lot of water to find some of the bigger fish. Usually not a lot of bites out there in some bodies of water, unlike, if you're on Lake Erie, there's tons of them out there, but the small inland lakes, you might not get a lot of bites, but a lot of times they're going to be the bites that you really want.
There's a little bit more to it than just going out and dragging baits around, too. It takes some time and some practice to get effective at it.
Yeah, it really does take some time and practice. The one thing about trolling is whether you're trolling inline spinners with crawlers or crankbaits, all of those techniques. Walleyes can literally be suspended 1 foot down in the water column, down to almost the bottom, whether you're in 30, 40 feet of water, it doesn't matter. So it's real key in situations like that to use your electronics. The electronics are so good nowadays that fish can't get away from you. You can see, especially a suspended fish, it sticks out like a sore thumb on your graph. And then you have to look at, well, if those fish are in 20 feet of water, if a lot of those marks are focused in on that 20 feet of water, what do I need to do with my spinner setup or my crankbait setup to get to that right depth, especially when the water is not real clear. Now, if the water is clear, walleyes will travel. Walleyes always feed in an upward fashion. So where you're marking those fish, you want to run your baits at or above most of those marks. And if it's real clear, you can run them way up. Fish will come up 10, 15 feet, no problem to hit baits. But all crankbaits have dive curves. Some of the smaller shad style baits, if you're not going after giant fish, you know, number five flicker shad, for instance, only go down about 9 feet on itself with monofilament lines. So if you want that bait to go down 20 feet, what do you need to do? And that's where it comes in. You got to put some type of weight scenario in there. You can use lead core line to get it down there. You can use snap weights. You can use basically a variety of different methods. But really for trolling in situations like that, that precision trolling guideline for all the different crankbait dive curves is really the Bible for a true troller, because it'll allow you to basically get your baits in the zone and know that you're fishing the right depths versus, I don't know if my bait's 5 feet down or 20 feet down. So, and that's the key thing. And when it comes to trolling, you know, there's still some people out there that like to, you know, do line or arm swipes, things like that. Line counters are so important now. You can get line counters for so cheap now. All you really need to look for is a good drag in a line counter and a counter that works, because I understand that 40 on one line counter may be different than 40 on another line counter, but the only thing that matters with line counters is it allows you to reproduce your own setup. So when you're catching fish at 40 back, it doesn't matter if it's 30 on someone else's, you know 40 is your number. So with your setups, you're running everything at 40. Line counters is just key in that. But yeah, it's always a trick to try to figure out how much line I need to let out, you know, and what types of baits I need to throw, because there's so many different crankbaits with different actions. You know, you get into the bigger, you know, banana style baits, smelt style baits, those have a much wider action. Those are typically a summertime bait. Some of the shad style baits, don't get me wrong, they work all year long, but then you got to look at what size baits I'm going to use. Okay, because there's anywhere from size 4s in a flicker shad up to a size 9. Drastic difference, huge difference. So, you know, if you're catching a lot of 18 inchers, I wouldn't necessarily recommend you putting a number 9 flicker shad out there. It's awfully big for them.
Well, thanks a lot for taking the time to share this information with our listeners, Chase.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, it's interesting. And the fact is that, you know, he made a point is saying that most of the bigger walleyes will go out and suspend. The biggest fish will go out and spend deeper water.
Yep, and that's why on some of our deep, clear lakes, Couderay Round trolling, it can work out pretty good in that deeper water.
Trolling and, you know, fish some of the evening, even after dark. I've done really well. If you want to fish shallow, look after dark. I've had some fantastic night fishing over the years.
I as well.
Yeah, for walleye. Yeah. Yeah.
Very good. Hey, we should mention that Muskies Inc. Kids Day is coming up August 4th.
It is going on. Muskies Inc. And Bob, I want to also mention that Muskies Inc. Kids Day is going on this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And it when Saturday we air this, it'll be Sunday, so you still got time to get out there.
Yep, and I just want to say that I met with Mike the other day, and him and his crew lavished the kids with a lot of nice goodies.
You bet. Well, that's always an interesting thing. And then we've also got the Bass Club thing coming
up. Yeah, that's coming up August 25th, and Wayne and company does well on putting on a great event there.
You know, and that'll be, I think, at Chippewa Flowage again.
Yep, it's based out of Landing on Chippewa Flowage. Lunch and guides take the kids out, and they're, like I say, they're lavished with some goodies. We didn't get stuff like that when we were kids.
No, we did not. We did not. We had to kind of carry around a can of worms, and couldn't be really afford a fishing hook.
Fish with a Zepco 202. Yep, yep.
Talk about a couple other things here. You know, we mentioned getting ready for fall, but you know, that hunting season will be come up pretty fast. And somebody that wants to do a bow hunting, you might want to start thinking about getting that thing out, dusting it off, getting some few shots in. And if you're looking at new equipment, like new crossbows, you've got a pretty good selection of those crossbows here. They got pretty popular.
Yeah, we do. And we got a great staff led by John Wagner, who's got lots of years in the archery industry. And so that being said, you're absolutely right. Get the bow out. You know, check the cables, check the string, throw some arrows out of it, and if it needs to get tuned up, bring her on in, and we got a crew of guys that do it well.
So we're about out of time for this week. If you miss a show, remember you can always hear that show on our website. You can go to wnoradio.net, And from there, you can link through to our podcast site or look us up on Spotify on the phone app. Anyway, we're out of time for this week. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, John.
And we'll be back again next week with another interesting topic.
Listen with me, I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.